something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's our Platinum Jubilee, and you'll never guess who's on the darts.
We pick our contest winner for the Andrea and Them poster.
Plus, Andrea meets Salvador's. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Welcome to our Platinum Jubilee. It's our 75th episode of Taggart and Torrens, which we just learned on the Google is called a Platinum Jubilee, or in Canada, a Platinum Blonde Jubilee.
Wow.
I hit the post even.
You did. You hit the post perfectly. And I think it's important for the people to visualize both of us with just huge hair and sprayed out and eyeliner. Colored eyeliner.
Can you call it that anymore?
I don't know. We'll be all macked out with huge hair for the Platinum.
I have so much to talk to you about, and I'm sure it's the same with you, because we don't really have a plan for this pod yet. We're just going to kind of riff and spritz.
That's what we're going to do.
Guess who's on the darts?
Oh, who's on the darts?
My post office. It's a country post office with a little postal outlet in the basement of their home, and I think everyone in the home is on the darts. So if you order something from the internet and you don't pick it up for a few days, it's going to smell like darts.
Oh, man, really?
Like, yeah, and some people have said, can you actually send my packages into the one at Shoppers because I don't want my stuff smelling like darts.
People have said that, and you just figured it out on your own as well.
Well, imagine you order yourself a sweater from Old Navy for your six-year-old, and it shows up smelling like darts.
Well, the cardboard box smells like darts.
Yeah, darts can permeate that. It would smell like the littlest hobo in the back of that Chrysler Cordoba. Driving to set in 1978.
You get a cloud
of darts.
You open it up and your white shirt's all yellow, your bod shirt.
Oh. This is white, isn't it, Mom? Well, it's more of a off-white.
It's all dark, same color as Ronnie Hawkins' hair around his
beard?
Mouth. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey.
Is that where the name Dartmouth came from? Because people have that yellowed facial hair around their mouth.
I once saw a guy who hacked so many darts that he had just nicotine lips.
Oh, nick lips.
And his hands were just orange.
Remember that Nick Oteen mask? Do you remember that ad? There was an ad like, don't be cool like Nick Oteen. And there was a guy smoking outside. He looked like Nick, Mallory's boyfriend.
No
family ties.
Way, really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow, that's classic.
Do you want to, this is the hottest story I've heard in recent
Nick
weeks.
Oteen.
We'll find it and we'll play it in a little bit.
Yeah.
I went to get some horse feed this morning at the country store. And they have a hard time finding a back door guy. Because you buy stuff in the front and you drive around and there's a guy at the back door who chucks your bags of feed or bags of shavings or whatever on the truck. The last guy that they hired showed up for the job interview with his wife and kid in the car and the cops chasing him.
Oh, man.
He pulled in hot to the parking lot with a cop, lights and sirens, going behind him. And he was like, oh, can you make this quick? I'm here for my job interview.
No way.
Best part is they still hired him.
That's up there with the Joey Kramer.
I know. It kind of reminded me of the Joey Kramer.
Yeah. Did you see that we, on the Twitter feed, somebody sent the actual article.
Wow.
Of the incident, and then we put it up on the TNT Twitter, and it explains it like that the car was destroyed.
Wow.
And he
I haven't seen that.
He had burns.
We
like
should
on his
give
hands
um
and stuff cuz he
should
didn't like let go of the dart.
We should give a couple quick shout outs to Mike, who does the TNT.ca stuff, just volunteer just cuz he's a bud.
Yeah.
Ricky, who's been going through all of the episodes and cataloging everything that we've referenced, which
unbelievable
is an
stuff.
Unbelievable time-consuming task. And guess what I just got in the mail? It doesn't smell like darts because it was small enough to fit in my mailbox.
Did Wes send you something?
Yeah, did you know it was coming?
No, but I saw you react on Twitter. And I was like, what the heck are you talking about? So what happened?
It's an Edmonton Oilers championship ring.
What?
So I can Paul Coffey my way around with the championship ring on my fingers now. Thanks to Wes.
Wes.
Like, what a thoughtful gift. That's Boddism at its purest form.
That is right there.
Thanks, Wes.
Nice job, Wes.
Later in this show, we have to determine the winner of the Andrea and Them contest.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be easy.
No, it's not. But, I mean, it's kind of, that 11th hour submission that came in was pretty solid.
Unbelievable, yeah. Somebody used moving images. And every one of them is bang on. So we're going to get into that today. I wanted to tell you about the Kijiji scuffle. Really, I'm telling the people because I told you about it on News Talk, but yep. I don't know how many buds listen to the News Talk. I was trying to sell a fifth wheel trailer because we have the bus now on the Kijiji.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy calls me, or he emails and says...
Oh, by the way, sorry. You can actually listen to all the episodes now on NewsTalk1010.com.
No way.
Yeah, they're all podded up there at the station. So if anybody's missed it, or if anybody would like to catch up on our Sunday night radio show on 1010, you can check that out. Sorry to interrupt.
Wow.
There you go.
No, that was a very worthwhile interruption because I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have really been good when we weren't as good about getting potties out every week so people could tie themselves over with a Sunday night show if they were right desperate.
I think it just became available recently, so we're good.
How great.
Yeah. So anyway,
we should also take
Kijiji.
This opportunity to say we won't be on News Talk 1010 this Sunday.
No.
June whatever. 12th. So I had this fifth wheel trailer listed on Kijiji. Really, I wanted to sell it because it's a nice unit.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a use for it. Movies are renting kind of same size trailers, but with two rooms in them as opposed to single cast trailers. There aren't that many big stars coming here these days. So I wanted to sell it while it was still nice. So I put, it's a 2007 40-foot titanium fifth wheel, and it's in immaculate shape inside because it's never really been used.
It's swank.
Yeah, but outside, it looks like something that's, you know, almost 10 years old. It doesn't look dated or banged up or beat up or anything, but it, you know, doesn't look brand new either.
Sure.
So the guy emails and says, is it immaculate? And I write back and say, well, to be honest, it looks like it's almost 10 years old outside, but inside is quite beautiful and it's never been used that hard.
Yeah.
Which is true. So he said, well, I'm going to take a drive out. He first wanted to do the swap-a-roo. Like, I have a 2011. Maybe we could trade because this layout is going to work better for me and my wife.
Yeah.
Like, well, that your trailer doesn't really serve a purpose for me.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm going to take a drive down anyway. So the first thing he says when he gets out of his, I'm going to say 1990 Nissan Sentra.
Is it immaculate?
No, but it's a four-door late model sedan.
Yeah.
There's
probably like full of Frutellas in the back seat.
Yeah, and wrappers. He probably has like a Pine Fresh air freshener from the Irving.
Yeah, the back, both, you know, like the wheel wells behind the seat, that's where he drops the Frutella wrappers, and he just fires 50 packs a day.
So the first thing he says when he gets out of the car is, boy, I'm glad I didn't bring my truck. And I say, why is that? Like, this is before even, hi, Mackie, I'm Jonathan.
That's greasy lines.
First thing he says is, I'm so glad I didn't bring my truck. I say, why is that? He says, because it's never been on a dirt road, and it's a 1990 Sierra, or whatever it is.
Oh, look out, eh?
I said, well, how do you go camping then? And he said, well, easy. I don't camp on dirt roads. Like, all right, big time.
Yeah.
So he does a circle, I was going to say circle jerk. He does a circle check the way an airline pilot would before he's about to take off. and, you know, scratching here, poking there, looking here, whatever. Uh-huh. He says, who put the big dent in it? And I said, what are you talking about? I scratched kind of the back bumper, but I didn't put a big dent in it. He said, come over here, have a look. So I looked, and it's true. The panel is separated from the trim a little bit. Not sure how that happened. It might be age. Might be lack of lubing the slides. Anyway, we go inside. He takes his shoes off and says, see, I never let anyone come in my trailer with their shoes on. And I have no problem saying, stop, take your shoes off before you walk even one step further.
This guy sounds like a good guy to go on a trip with.
Yeah, so much fun. He was so super fun.
Yeah.
So he says, this was probably a good, nice trailer in its day. Like, you have to understand, it's a really nice, like, there's an island with a wine rack. Like, it's not shag carpet 1970 in there. It's a nice trailer. So he says, I mean, look at this carpet, because there's a bit of carpet under the captain's chairs. Mm-hmm. And he says, look at this carpet. I mean, that's gross.
Like, no way.
That's aggressive language already.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let the gross slide.
Yeah.
Then he gets to the back and says, he's standing in the kitchen and says, I mean, this is a total piece of garbage.
No way.
Yeah. He dropped that on me. So I said, have a good day, bud.
Yeah.
And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, off you go then. And he said, what do you mean? I'm just telling you what I think. And I said, well, I think first of all, there's nicer language that you can use. Second of all, a simple, it's not for me, would have sufficed.
Yeah.
And third of all, don't come on my property and insult this thing. You're the only person who's ever walked in here who's had anything other than, wow, nice trailer, which is really all it warranted. And there are so many ways to say you're not interested in something, but that was being a dick with intent.
Yeah.
He was douching me out of my own property.
Did he leave? Or was he like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he left. He left, but... I just can't imagine why you would want to drive an hour to cheese some guy off.
Man. Thank God you don't have to see that guy. He's given the East Coast a bad name, that guy.
His name is Mackie.
Watch out for the Mac.
Well, in Return of the Mac, he's never coming back here, but he has a trailer on Kijiji, and my friend Kristen said, I'm going to go look at his trailer and just insult every single thing about it. I looked at it like it's a little Willie Nelson's tour bus in there, if I'm being honest.
No, unbelievable. I'm blown away. I'm also queuing something up here for you, bud.
Here's what a friend of mine's wife does on Kijiji. The price is firm, and any lowball offer, it goes up $100. With every offer you make that isn't the price, it goes up $100. And I love that kind of hardball. Have you had good luck on Kijiji?
Oh, yeah. Lots of good luck. But not the Return of the Mac.
This is the song playing out of the center when he busts up my dirt road.
Yeah, this is him coming.
When he and comes he's like, back. Look, I was thinking about it. Maybe I was a little bit harsh.
Or no, this is when, this is all that guy does, and like he bought it, but then he says the return of the Mac, because I'm not buying it.
He's bringing it back.
And this is what's playing all loud coming down your road. In that little, what is it again? The 1990 what?
Nissan Sentra.
Yeah. Just burning down the... No, going 50 all slow. Because he doesn't want to wreck.
He's going 30 and swervy around the potholes on my dirt road.
Super slow.
Return of the Mac.
Just jamming.
And he's got louvers on the back window. He looked like that neighbor on Home Improvement type map. He was one of those maps.
He looks like who?
The neighbor on Home Improvement?
No way. Really?
Like
the guy
only see his...
just see his eyes? That guy?
Yeah, like you can see his helmet like he was on the Zoodles can. A pith helmet like he pithed himself.
Like Captain Kangaroo hair?
Yeah, he's one of them maps. He's like, like that guy meets Captain Crunch.
Oh, that's enough of that guy. The mat.
But he, he talks about going camping with his 3-year-old grandson because his grandson just can't stand not being with him. Like, man, that poor kid. Mackie. Mackie Bruced me out on my own property.
Oh, he totally did. You should have said, you sure your name isn't Bruce?
You know, it feels satisfying to stand up for yourself in those kind of encounters, though.
Yeah.
He tried to douche me out, and most times or at a different stage of my life, I would have been like, all right, I'll just kind of tolerate it till he leaves. But at a certain point, you're like, it's a sunny Saturday afternoon, and you're bumming me out, and there's so many other things I'd rather be doing. Get out of here, mosquito.
Yeah. He's like, no, I'd like, rather sit, hang out and give you the Zika virus conversation.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a human Zika virus.
When we got to say the we can't believe how the reaction to Andre and them online has been fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
Remember the theme, the Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah.
I only want to be with you. That's starting to resonate as well. Just because when you hear that song in public and you you picture Andrea rocking out to it.
The funny thing is, the montage,
like we said, of her going around the six and doing stuff.
I was trying to remember if we ever suggested she was a big boned gal, or that's just how every single person interpreted her.
I thought, yeah, I don't know. Somehow I pictured her that way. Imagine her at that stupid Sweet Jesus ice cream place, sticking an ice cream in some hipster's face because she can't handle it. Why do you gotta fucking Instagram everything?
Dear Grammy, they get chicken up here. It's called jerk chicken, but it's made by nice people. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
How come all the guys have beards?
And tattoos. I've never seen so many tattoos in my life. I was trying to find a parking spot, but like a car lashes for the Cavalier.
All the C's. The hard C's.
Like a car lashes for the Cavalier. And I went into the Eaton Center because I thought it was a place to get a boit. But nobody was eating in there. But they did have the BOGO on at Ardene. It's like a 2 headband, so I'm sending one home to you.
The episode when Andrea's at the Eaton Center and there's someone shooting in the food court.
Aww. I want to protect her innocence. I don't want her confronted by city stuff.
No, it's when real heavy drama meets Andrea.
Girl, what are you standing around the corner for in your mini skirts? You're going to get a cold. My frig, the skirts I'd wear if I had an arse like that.
Remember the Hootie Jam was kind of like the Tangled Up in Blue. How it's like kind of framed from that song.
So yeah.
75 jams. And if you listen, the guitar at the beginning is very similar to I Only Want to Be With You.
So that was a design choice?
Yeah. So it's even, there's not just like ripping lyrics, but it's like they're also stealing the vibe of this. But it starts out the 75 jams, which is the year of my birth.
Hey, no way!
Yeah!
And it's a Platinum Jubilee, and we're celebrating your birth year.
Yes, and I couldn't pick a better jam than this. This is my favorite artist. Just this Bob would be your Gordy, right? The equivalent.
Did you say he's your favorite artist?
Yeah. For sure.
I didn't know that.
Bobby D?
It took us having a Platinum Jubilee for me to learn this about you.
It took that long, I guess. Yep. For top tip tops, best experience would have to be him.
What do you mean?
He's just one of the few people where you kind of gauge, you respect their opinion so much that it becomes kind of a slight compass in a way.
Well, have you met him?
No, I've never met him, but I just the lyrics and the what he's always said and how intelligent he is has just kind of always, I guess, rang true to me. I think also because my mom was a huge fan, so she played Bob Dylan in the house all the time.
See, my mom was a huge fan of Helen Reddy. That's what I got. and Nana Mouskouri. So have you seen Dylan in concert?
Yeah, I saw him at the Phoenix.
And
like
how was
small.
He?
It was amazing.
Yeah. Like, when was that? What year?
Probably 10 years ago. No, I've always been kind of, if he's the go-to, if I'm ever wanting to escape in music in a way. John Coltrane and Dylan are similar. Like, it's just, you get lost in it because every line is so meaningful that it makes you just kind of dig it and respect it.
I believe it was the great Christopher Cross who said, "Every word is a symphony." Remember?
Yeah.
Let's take a break on our Platinum Jubilee and more 75 tunes when we come back. Freaking hold on, will you, Peckers?
Where's my beer chair?
Oh. Welcome back to our Platinum Jubilee. Here's Gordon Lightfoot.
Always seem to know when it's time to go. 1975. I would say Gordy's probably the epicenter of the rainy day person.
Yep. I like high step and strutters.
High step and strutters who lands him each other.
Such a good jam.
Ah, Gordy, we love you.
That was 1975, eh, bud?
Yep. What do you think about 75? Pretty good year so far for jams.
All I can think of in my head is a documentary called John Mayer, Backup Singer.
John Mayer?
Yeah.
Like the John Mayer singing Body Wonderland guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Steve went to the same school. Steve from Our Lady Peace. They went to Berkeley, I think, a year behind him.
Really?
Yeah.
But John Mayer went to Berkeley?
Yeah. That's why he's such a chops guy.
He is a chops guy.
Yeah.
I just wonder what it's like to stand on stage every night and go, waiting.
Ugh.
Right? Every 30 seconds you have to say, waiting. And you're not necessarily playing an instrument. And you probably have as many chops as John Mayer does. And you probably went to Berkeley.
Yeah.
But you're making a living by going, waiting.
Yeah. Or yeah. That's a pretty, that's it in that whole song.
Yeah. It's they are like, waiting. It's not like, literally waiting.
Not like doing the David Gilmour backups where you're working the whole night.
Or Leonard Cohen, where you're actually having to carry. Or,
yeah.
Dude, have you seen Toto perform Africa in the last decade?
Yeah, what about it? They were all players. Jeff Porcaro on the drums? Boy, oh boy.
I know. But the lead vocals is now down an octave, and he's relying on the backups to get the, gonna take a lot to drag me away.
Oh, it's not so good, Al, or what?
But it, what?
Is it good or not?
No, it's brutal.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen
because
that.
The lead is down an octave, and that was always supposed to be high. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? Do I put this one? Hey, Bad Dad Jams? We should do that sometime. Top 5 Bad Dad Jams.
Oh, this is a good Bad Dad Jam. A BDJ.
Bad Dad Jad. Begat a young dad to become another bad dad.
Did Harry Chapin write the original?
Yeah. The, hey, the dad that's like, gotta go for a weekend trip, son. Gotta make that money.
Tell me the truth. As a parent,
but
do
then
you
he
not have this song reverberating in the back of your head at all times?
Yeah, for sure. And then they have, that's like when you go to the Toys R Us, and you see those huge trucks with the drivable cars. The bad dad section.
Yeah, right. Or the couch, like the dad couch where they can sit and play Angry Birds while their kids destroy things.
It's like $750 Mercedes car in the backyard all alone. Driving around. Mom saying, "All mad, come in." I want to drive a car.
My favorite Harry Chapin tune is probably Mr. Tanner.
Yeah.
Like, Harry Chapin rings some softy bells for me.
Well, he's amazing. Was amazing.
Like, Harry Chapin, like, Mr. Tanner was a cleaner in the town in the Midwest. And of all the cleaning shops around, he made his the best. But he also was a baritone who sang while hanging clothes. He'd practice scales while pressing tails and sang at local shows. And the song is about, have you heard it?
What's it called again?
Mr. Tanner?
Yeah, so, I think, I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know it that well at all.
Mr. Tanner's friends suggest, well, you've been wanting to sing your whole life. Why don't you take a chance? Like, don't worry about cleaning. Just go try to be a singer. So he takes all his savings, like the story song, right?
Yeah.
Takes all his savings and goes to New York and performs, and the critics give him terrible reviews, and he goes back to his little cleaning shop and never sings again.
Yikes.
Except very late at night when the shop is dark and closed, he sings softly to himself as he's sorting through the clothes. But the nice thing is it's juxtaposed against, I think his bass player's name was Big John, and Big John sings Mr. Tanner's part, and it's the... Oh, fall on your knees to hear the angel voice.
Jesus.
But juxtaposed against this sad tale, it's just a great song. It's a little saccharine, mm-hmm. but if you've never heard it, it's baller. That sounds like 1975 to me.
Jerry Mercer just pounding on the fire bell.
Did you ever use a bell?
No. No bells or cowbells in my scene.
I was reading an article with Gord Downie. Might have even been the one Joseph Boyden wrote for McLean's. And he's talking about doing a hip album with Bob Rock.
Uh-huh.
And Gord used the phrase "ring the bell." I kept wanting to ring the bell on these big loud songs.
Yeah.
And Bob Rock was saying, "You don't always have to do that. You can just be really subtle and sensitive."
Yeah.
But that's such a great expression for really coming on to her.
Oh yeah. Going rock. April Wine. Remember that?
Yeah.
Did I tell you that story ever? Have we talked about that on? I think we did, where the drummer was doing this drummer was doing a solo.
No.
Jerry Mercer was doing a solo, and the sound guy, I guess, had a fight with him or something. So, or was mad at him for some reason. So he, like, while Jerry was doing the solo, he had a mic connected, you know, like the face mic, so just, like, stuck around his face or whatever. The little in-sync ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's doing the solo, and the sound guy just cranked that mic.
So it'd be like Feedback City?
No, you just heard like...
Oh.
And all breathing super heavy when he's doing the solo. Blowing him right up.
That's a good hit.
Everyone's like, yeah, laughing their heads off out in the crowd. He doesn't know what's going on.
That's a good hit. I love pranks.
Yeah, some good pranks.
Was it you telling me about the hockey coach prank?
Which one?
If a player's been bad, or he's been drinking, or you just don't like a guy or whatever, when you're staying in the hotel, you call the front desk and say, this guy, the guy in room 306 has a concussion. Can you call him every half hour all night to make sure he's not falling asleep?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's so simple, but such an effective hit.
Yeah. That's it's solid to mess with.
Good hit.
I mean, well, Van Halen used to like tar and feather the drummer, so they'd go up into the truss and then like, pour like I don't know syrup on him or something all over, and then throw feathers onto him.
From the opening band?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Did they do it to you?
It was interesting because we did like 45 shows, but we ended up not doing the last three, so we never had like a last night, but they would have got me.
What happened? Why did you end up not doing
it? I can't remember. We just took some other shows or something like that towards the end of the tour. But the, yeah, they would destroy their gear. Like, they would, like, pour stuff everywhere and wreck it and then buy them everything new.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Would you be low-key mad, though?
No.
Wouldn't you?
Ready. I don't care.
If it was your favorite drum kit and they ruined it?
Well, what, at the point, it was not that. I never cared. When you're playing festivals out in mud and rain all the time anyway,
right?
Kind of don't care. Maybe now, because of the Craviatos, the drums I have, I don't want them to be wrecked or cracked or something.
How often do you drum?
Practice a few times a week.
Do you really?
Yeah. On a drum kit, not as much.
So what does practice mean?
Well, pads but on a kit a couple times a month to keep things going.
And how effective is practic? Like, is that
it's more just connecting? It's more connecting to time or connecting to playing, because it's kind of therapeutic as well.
Of course,
to practice.
And do you do it because you feel like you should, or because you want to keep up the skill?
A little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you work at something and you do it so much that it becomes what you do, to stop doing it kind of is a disservice to what it is, especially if I've always gotten something from it. You know what I mean? Like, when I play, I enjoy it. Like, I don't know, like if you're jogging or something and you connect to jogging, or people that like to do those kind of things, they like it because it's, in a way, it's kind of just an escape, but it's also, it's doing good. You can just feel it kind of doing good things. And that's
like
why.
The runner's high.
Yeah. Or, you know.
Do you have to get back in shape drum-wise? Like, if you guys were recording a record or not touring or something, and then suddenly you're getting ready for a tour,
no.
Does it take you a few days to ramp up, or are you pretty much good to go?
Yeah. There wasn't in the first 10 years, there was no time to have that happen.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You don't really get much more than a few weeks off or a month or something like that without having to do something else.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm on.
It's
kind of like a semi-retired feeling at the moment, but I'm sure if I were playing with somebody, I would be back at that same kind of pace of just continual and relentless. Maybe I obviously have some, like, I don't have the calluses I would have after touring for 12 months.
Right. Do you feel as though you're not finished with music?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind that. Like I said, when you do it and you play, you have a connection with it. So it's, you don't, the only reason I would stop is if I physically had an issue, if I had something wrong with me that I couldn't play. Because it's it's not something that, unless I was being hurt all the time, I wouldn't. There's no point in not doing it just because, you put so much into it.
I'm curious to know your feeling about the Ticketmaster hubbub around the hip.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. That's a bummer because it's preying on the fan. And this is a really kind of an interesting situation for this tour to be happening. It's beautiful, the fact that it's kind of like a last tour, but it's not like the band just breaking up. There's so much attached to this and Gord Downie's life that it's become more than just a concert. And I think that's why the tickets are so high, but on all these other sites. But it's something that needs to be addressed and controlled. Because, Ticketmaster owns StubHub as well. It's not like it's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's the same people just masked and ripping, everybody off double.
So how do scalpers get so many tickets?
Well, they...
They line up first?
Either they line up or they just are on the phone with a credit card and they do the same system, or maybe they hire a bunch of people to do it for them and you know what I mean? Just have a bunch of anonymous stealers do it and then they collect. It's always gonna happen unless they somehow, your experience of buying a ticket is different. I mean, if it were as simple as a thumbprint or something like that at the show, the people that actually go are the ones that get the tickets as opposed to it. And it only happens with things that are crazy. I mean, in terms of the ridiculous prices. But, I mean, there's no avoiding it, really.
What can the band do? Nothing, really.
I mean, remember Pearl Jam tried to make tickets cheaper and all that. That was kind of connected in the same vein, but they just couldn't. The big picture is Ticketmaster controls everything in terms of live performance, so the venues and everything that you're playing in are all connected to that one thing, so you can't just like do it a different way. It doesn't work. You just you have to play different venues and you have to look into getting licenses and all that stuff in each of the cities. It's crazy. It's so bizarre.
Were you surprised, and you would know better than me how this works, were you surprised that they added dates, or do you think it was always in the plan to add dates and they just wanted to see how the sales went?
No, I'm sure there was, they thought previous of adding shows if there was. I don't know how they couldn't see there being a ridiculous demand, because they always sell well anyway, period, the hip. So I'm sure there would be, I mean, because they ended in Kingston previous, right?
Right.
So that makes sense that they're adding more. But I don't know, man. It's a bummer that those ticket prices are so ridiculous, and it'll be so hard to get it to go, but it'll be pretty amazing. I think CBC should televise that. I don't know if the Kingston
Well, that's certainly
show,
in the
that
in the
that
offing.
Should happen. I mean, that's something that would be really nice, because a lot of people can't get there and want to see it as well.
So would you not go over paying that money on StubHub?
I wouldn't pay that money on StubHub.
No.
But, I mean, I want to go. So, and I didn't get a ticket, so I'll have to find either another way, or I'll have to say I'm not going, just like a lot of people.
Right.
You know?
Someone suggested the band could move to larger venues, but that's not really a solution either, is it?
Well, I mean, if that demand is there, sure. I mean, there are, you would have to think about Rogers Center, but I mean, it's doable. People play in there all the time. Beyonce just played there a couple weeks ago. There doesn't sound as good, but I mean,
right.
It's not. It's an option. And the fact that it's summer, you could do something.
Would it sound
outside.
Better with the roof open or closed?
It would sound great with the roof open, but they don't open it ever for concerts.
Why?
I think for
takes
sound.
Takes too long to close if it starts to rain?
Sound issue, and it's expensive to open the thing. So I think it's up to the show that's there if they want to spend the money. I remember OLP did like a couple things in there, and we asked about the roof, and at that time it was $40,000 just to open it.
No.
So imagine now it's probably a lot
just
more.
In power?
Yeah, that was like 15 years ago. Or whatever.
Do they must just
they
put that price on it so that you don't want
to
do it.
Yeah. And I'm sure now it's probably like $100,000, so it's like an artist is looking at, well, getting probably $1.something million. I'm not going to start cutting 10% off of because of that.
Yeah, but for Queen Bee, that's baby money.
Yeah, she was probably getting $2 million. But maybe they jacked the price. Who knows?
Holy frig, Laramie, get two tickets to the monster trucks at the Rogers Centers. I'm going to go see Gravedigger. I've been watching him since I was a kid.
Monster Jam.
they put a whole bunch of piles of dirt in. Sometimes you see babies with headsets because it's too loud for their little ear canals. Would Laramie go to Monster Trucks with Andrea and them?
Oh, for sure. All like skinny jeans and walking around. This is pretty loud.
There was some interesting takes on Laramie.
Yeah.
I love that somebody was like, Jay Baruchel. It should be Jay Baruchel. Like, sometimes people cast us, sometimes they didn't.
Yeah.
The one consistent thing was that Andrea's a big bone gal.
Yes. Who's that Australian or British, that Australian comic, that girl?
Rebel Wilson.
Is that her?
She's funny.
Everybody thinks that's Andrea.
That's pretty much Andrea.
Or Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy's funny, dude. I watched a few minutes of Bridesmaids the other night. She's funny.
She's hilarious.
Let's take a break on our Platinum Jubilee. And when we come back, the contest winners. I want to talk about the Nickelback song Rockstar.
Oh, great.
More specifically, the voiceover guy in the middle of the Nickelback song Rockstar.
Yeah, and we still have a couple 75 jams to get three.
Giddy up. Don't go away.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
Remember when we did that show at the Rivoli for Canadian Music Week and the Flatliners were there?
Yes, that was a great time.
The Flatliners just shared on their Instagram, "Thanks for letting us jam before tour, Sneaky D's. Our songs taste so much better when we're burping up nachos and wings." What are the odds?
That's the best.
They're playing at Sneaky D's and they're having nachos.
That would be good if Laramie's opening up for the Flatliners.
I know. They didn't have the Camilleri, but they did have the nachos and wings.
What would Laramie's band be called? The Circle Jerks?
Oh, probably. Yep, it would be. And he calls them the Jerks for short, as if a lot of people know who they are. What kind of music is it? What's your frame of reference for a band?
Oh, like awful punk rock, like horrible.
Like who?
Just like a band where you're like, yeah, I don't see this going anywhere. Like bad singer, and everyone's kind of out of time.
The just Circle
shitty,
Jerks.
A shitty punk band, like horrible. Like they're not even, the only thing they got right is like the look a little bit.
Ever since Piss Tank broke up.
Don't forget, remember, because Laramie is terrible. He's an awful musician, but he just does it because he's trust funding everything.
And the other guys will be in the band because it's like, well, he sucks, but
yeah,
he has a rehearsal space.
The singer has like a fake British accent.
Laramie used to play in Piss Tank, and he was always jealous of these three guys that played in another band called Pfister, P-F-I-S-T-E-R. And then when Pfister broke up, they formed the Circle Jerks.
Maybe he's a singer bass player.
Yeah, bass, vocals.
Yeah,
and they do.
He has a British accent as soon as he walks in the club.
It's the reverse Simple Plan soundcheck. Where else would the Circle Jerks play? Like, do they have a van and they tour a little bit?
Yeah, they have his fancy van that he got, right?
But it's a Toyota Sienna with sliding side doors on both sides.
And DVDs inside. And they like have like the slickest ass videos as well because he's got the cash.
But they're terrible.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the song Rockstar by Nickelback. Because I heard it this morning on the radio, and the thing that struck me about it more than anything was the voiceover guy and the decision to use a voiceover in the middle of it. So I wanted to do a bit of a deep dive on what exactly...
Is that just the how you're gonna do it, that guy?
Yeah!
Oh, man, that's so fucking cheesy. It gets into my soul.
I know! I wondered if you might feel that way, because you're...
No, it's so greasy, like...
You're Krog positive for the most part, and I mean,
but
it's,
there's like the element of like the when it's all of a sudden you're wearing those shirts that have like the like all the fake tattoos, like they go around the arms and shit, those yeah. kind of shirts.
Ed Hardy, yeah.
Yeah, when it goes into that stuff, it's just, there is an element of that.
Then for
it's just
sure.
hard for me to shake.
Oh, frig, yeah. Oh, yeah. frig, there is. Yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
Too many tap out shirts.
Too many, like the guy, the decal on the back window, the guy peeing on a Chev.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
Truck nuts.
Yeah. It's two Definitely. Truck nuts. It's two car
We should have
bra.
A game of, like, what Nickelback fans most, like, as if it were, like, Family Feud. And you're just in one of them, like... Ding, ding,
what
ding,
do
ding,
they
ding.
Have?
Your truck nuts. It's number four.
We asked 100 people what Nickelback fans absolutely have. Barbed wire tattoo. Ding, number
ding,
three.
Ding, 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 ding. Number one. 62 people said.
Barbed wire tattoo, for sure. Motorcycle boots, for sure.
No, the Ed Hardy shirt might be number one.
Yeah, Ed Hardy, Tap Out is a good reference. What's
Frosted
the other?
Tips is another.
Oh, dude, Affliction.
Affliction, that's it.
Shirt.
Those are the shirts I was thinking of. Affliction.
Dude.
That's number one.
Dude, and maybe like either a sweatband or a leather bracelet band, like a thick leather bracelet band. All right, let's listen to this dude.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'm never getting. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be. Tell me what you want.
Okay, so that's like, that's enough. Who is that guy? Did you find out?
No, but that's the first one. Tell me what you want. Here's the next one.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in. And a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me. So what you need?
What?
Did he say baseball instead of hockey? Did the American
No,
swap?
He said, so what you need? But there was a little, like, satisfied grunt before the so what you need. Listen.
Through my complete baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me. So what you need? I'll need
Did you hear the...
Yep. Yeah, because he's like the cool dealer happening guy.
Is that who his character is?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
a dealer.
Yeah.
Because there's some, like, Gene Simmons and some ZZ Top folks and, like, Wayne Gretzky. Like, yeah. there are cameos by celebrities, as you said, but on Kid Rock, of course. But these are the things that the voiceover guy says. The first is, tell me what you want. The second is, so what you need. The third yeah. is, been there, done that. The fourth mm-hmm. is, so how you gonna do it? And then the fifth is, I'll have the quesadilla, ha ha.
Come on.
Yeah, I have to find I'll have the quesadilla, ha ha. I guess
they're out
about
to
the
dinner?
Middle.
I'm gonna
dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key.
Oh, I just passed it.
All
right, stand by.
Quesadilla, they're out, they're so close.
Here comes,
they have dinner together.
I'll have the quesadilla, haha. It's after meals for free. Ready?
I'll be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. On a couple lot of grass so I can eat my meals for free. I'll have the quesadilla. I'm gonna dress my ass.
Who is the guy that goes into a voiceover session? Like, we just need to grab a few lines from you, Brent. Okay. Let's start with this one. I'll have the quesadilla, ha ha.
It's probably, I don't know who it is. Maybe it's one of their bods with the low voice.
I'll have the quesadilla, ha ha.
Just try it again,
a little warmer.
They must have a security guy that talks like that.
Oh, that might be how they did it. That might be how they did it.
Right?
How are we going to decide who won the Andrea and Them contest?
Well, we'll have to discuss the top few entries.
I mean,
there are some good ones.
I know what I would probably do. I think we're into some Bud Tukes as honorable mentions.
Okay.
Do you?
Sure, yeah.
If I had to, if we're going right into it, yeah. I think there are two co-winners.
Okay.
Do you have an idea who you think won? Oh, man. There's so many good ones, though.
Yeah, the pictures were funny, man. Some classic pictures.
Really funny. First of all, thanks to everyone that submitted.
Thank you so much.
Because that takes a lot of time.
The one that we're using on the TNT site is pretty hilarious.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking that was a first responder, too.
Yeah, for sure.
So that would be one of my winners. Mm-hmm. And the other of my winners would be the guy who made the opening titles video.
Absolutely.
Because that was next level. He actually took I Only Want to Be With You and cut it with visuals of a bus and Glace Bay Hospital and the city of Toronto. And it had an 80s quality to it.
Yep.
And it also just was musically cut very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the it had the created by Jeremy and Jonathan, which I thought was very clever. Like it actually looked like opening title.
Yes.
It's hard to narrow it down to just two.
Yeah, no, it is hard, but I would say those two probably stick out the most for me.
Okay.
Although there are some other funny pictures.
There are some other funny pictures. Yeah. But congratulations to you two buds. You've won swag packs. I'm just trying to go through our Twitter feed real quick to figure out who they were. We'll find them.
Yeah.
We'll find them and we'll send them some bud packs.
Maybe we can. Maybe someone wants to hear another 75 jam. Chilliwack.
I can't imagine why they wouldn't.
One of the first Chilliwack jams. Crazy Talk?
I'm in already.
Are you?
Yeah, it's such a good hook.
Remember this jam?
Bam.
Doom, dit, dit.
Bill can sing.
Chilliwack are sneaky. Because they went kind of hardcore weird in the 80s for me.
Did they? How?
Well, with the Gone Gone, She's Gone, comparably to this, or, you know, Fly at Night. They were kind of like a more of a rock band, and then with the My Girl kind of switched her up a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it was a bit more poppy, but the harmonies are bananas. My Girl.
Yeah.
He can do some runs. But I hear you. That's like, that's low-key, no-tell motel kind of jam.
Hanging out at night.
That's afternoon delight.
Happy it comes on, but don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't tell nobody.
I'm going to change it and say leave it.
How about this one? You got to know when to hold 'em.
Is that 75?
No. That's just one of the TNT classic lines. That's for Timbo.
Is that it for 75 jams?
No. Here's another good one that you might know. Little Bowie?
Yeah, sure. It was a cool time, wasn't it?
Sure. Things are just starting to really progress with rock and pop music. 1975, I mean, it's across the board. Everybody's just bringing it.
There's also, like, what was the time to vocal on that? Like, 45 seconds?
Yeah, it's a long talk up, that one.
Talk up. Nice
that's
term.
That's a dancer. Hey?
Yeah, it's a good old-fashioned dancer.
Great jam, bud.
I'm going to do a quick poem saying as Andrea with the lyrics to Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
Let me hear it.
Rockstar. I'm through with standing in line. The clubs will never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth. I'm never going to win. This life hasn't turned out quite the way I wanted it to be. I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in, a king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me. I need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black jet with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Hey, listen, list. This is a list again.
It's a list song. Like, Mutt Lang.
Mutt Lang.
I want a new tour bus full of old guitars, my own star on Hollywood Boulevard, somewhere between Cher and James Dean's fine with me. I'm going to trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Because we all just want to be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay right skinny because we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's going to wind up there. Every Playboy bunny with her bleach blonde hair. It's terrible, this song. I want to be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up arseholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free. I'll have the quesadilla. Maybe there that's Salvador. Is. I'll have the quesadilla.
Oh, there it is. Finally.
She's Salvador like, should have done it.
Hey,
I'm going to dress my arse with the latest fashion, get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. I'm going to date a centerfold that loves to blow my money from me.
So how are you going to do it again?
That is the cover that nobody asked for.
Yeah, no, he comes in and she's like, what are you doing? What's your name? And she's all down.
I met this Antonio Banderas looking fella at the Eaton Centers. He was at Movenpick getting a salad.
Talk about, tell me how he's kind of fired up. He is a little horny or something.
I followed him to Foot Locker. And he was trying on shorts, but I don't think he had on any underwears. He kept walking by me and saying,
it's Jumi.
And he got right close to me. It was like he was smelling my neck or something. It was weird. One time he did a bird drag right across the corner of my back hind. Like not straight across my arse, but like my hip. 45 degree angle.
But she's having a few drinks with him.
I think he's packing like a Sculpin or something in his pants because it seemed quite sizable. One time I had to tell him to frig off, but it didn't seem to keep him away.
She loves it, though.
She loves the attention. She
has as much as a libido as Salvador.
Yeah.
Right?
Down at Eaton Center, I met a guy. His name was Salvatore. He dragged his bird across me and didn't know what to do, so I panicked. I got in an Uber and came the hell home.
I could see Salvador being the guy where he's like, I can't do it anymore. Like, he's even he's like, can't keep up.
She's right. Using it to bait Laramie to try to make him right jealous.
Yeah, and all he does
Laramie,
is he
believe
comes
me, I work at Purelators. I know my way around a package, but this was unlike anything I've ever felt before in my life.
And him, he doesn't like that he keeps hearing, she's saying, calling him Laramie in bed.
Aww. He point blank me asked me for $7 to get an Orange Julius.
Do Salvador mad that he's saying Laramie?
My name again is Salvatore. Who is Laramie? Because you're calling me I'm again.
Oh, sorry, it's just a buddy of mine. He's my roommate. I met him on Kijiji.
And then he comes out and he's like, hey, I'm Laramie.
Oh my god, Laramie. And it feels right nice.
Who is Laramie again? Do you need to stop calling me Laramie again?
He's getting so mad about it.
For the last time, my name is Salvador. For the very last time.
So Salvador can't believe that Andrea is not feeling him, and it's a bizarre love triangles. It's a bizarre love triangles.
But when he actually meets Laramie...
And Andrea's leaving. Oh, my Ubers is here! And Salvador's like, when will I hear from you again? He can't believe that she's leaving. She's so noncommittal.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Poke me on F-Book and we'll see what happens.
Right.
I have not accepted my friend request.
And Laramie's... He's all mad at Laramie.
Laramie, are you going to finish that pad thigh?
My name is Salvatore.
Whatever your name is, are you going to friggin' eat it or not? It's not going to eat itself. You better drive it into you. You ever been to India, Salvador?
Salvador.
Drive it to India.
Salvador meeting Laramie. It's like, so you're Laramie.
And Laramie couldn't give a baker's
That's
F.
it. Yeah, he's like, what? What's the big deal?
Laramie, I'm having my friend Sally over for dinner tonight, and I'm using my coupons for the king, and I don't want you embarrassing me in front of him, okay? This relationship is right important to me.
Or they're out somewhere on a date as three, and Salvador's like, give me that golf putter, like trying to show Laramie that he knows how to do everything better. He's all showing off.
What if Andrea drags Salvatore to, I don't understand why we have to go to this restaurant way out of this place. Oh, I don't know, I just heard it's good. But she knows Laramie's going to be there, and she's trying to make him right jealous.
Yeah, yes.
Well, what are you freaking doing here? You know I come here every Tuesday.
Laramie doesn't care at all. But
doesn't like, care.
But Salvador and her are dying to try and show him up.
And Laramie's like, who's this guy? And Salvador says, I am her boyfriend. And Andrew goes, it's just some guy I met. I took the last two blows of the stairs.
He's super jealous. Salvador's all jealous.
Andrea's such
Why do you want to go with him on the ride? Hey.
Oh, there's only room for two. We'll be right back, Salvador. Salvador.
On the thing, the merry-go-round or whatever.
Salvador, look at that one over there. She's right cute. Andrea's trying to pawn him off.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And Andrea's pulling Laramie aside. Can I talk to you for a second right quick? Yeah. Hey, this guy won't leave me alone. I need your roomie help. We should have a panic word like dolphin or umbrella, and every time I'm right panicky, you can save me, be my knight shining armors.
And he's like, I don't give a shit again, but then Salvador confronts him, like, listen.
Laramie, I'm really worried for my safety with the Salvadors. Can you pretend to be my boyfriend just for the next 20 minutes till I shake him?
And he's like, no way.
No, I'm playing swinging bells.
Yeah. And Salvador confronts him all pissed off.
Hey, can I ask you something man to man again? Yeah. You need to get out of my face.
Yeah, he also takes his shirt off to fight him.
Yeah, hey, you broke the bro code, dude. You broke the bro code. what's a bro code? No, you broke the bro code.
Bye.
Talk to you next week, Laramie.
Talk to you next week. We're good to go, bud.
Holy frig, I'm right nervous.